Tallahassee Game Day is brought to you by Zaxby's, the official chicken of sports fans. Tallahassee Zaxby's, proudly supporting Florida State University and Seminole Boosters for over 15 years. Zaxby's, indescribably good. Now live from Florida's capital city, here's WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron.
Welcome in, hour two of Tallahassee Game Day. Happy Game Day, Knowles! Go to hell, Miami. Florida State with an opportunity today to knock off the hated Canes in a nonsense program with very little support. That would be absolutely huge, obviously, to securing a vastly superior recruiting class than Miami, which is going to happen regardless of today's results, judging by where we stand currently. That's always good to note. And the futility of the last 20 years will continue down there. It's about climbing back to where we rightfully belong.
I believe I read a report about Alabama trying to swoon Tyler Van Dyke at some point, you know, just to, you know, maybe making some phone calls around to people in the middle because you can't tamper. I don't know. It wasn't verified, though.
No.
I'm not sure if that actually happened, but I'm pretty sure it happened.
We shall see if Florida State can rise to the occasion. Thank you, Vishal. We appreciate you supporting Tallahassee Game Day, WarChant.com, the Jeff Cameron Show. I got a good feeling about this one, boys. Let's go get this dub. Go Knowles, ride the Vishal. Yeah, absolutely. Let's. That's good. That's always appreciated. As for the game itself, we were talking about before the break. Do you want to do this, Tom? Do you want to go and look at some picks to have a good day? A good day, bad day,
sure.
That kind of stuff?
Yeah.
We can do that with prize
picks. I haven't put together the Sporting Knowles column that I typically do this week. I'm going to try and give you a rapid-fire one right after the show, get it up on the site. But we could talk about it right now and discuss some of these things because this is fun. You get to tell the story of the game, as we like to say, through over-unders. And mm-hmm. I'll pull up the passing numbers for both quarterbacks, as set by prizepicks.com right now.
So those totals, by the way, figure to be pretty high. You're looking now, there's at, oh, by the way, I just now noticed there's a little Brock Purdy in there. You typically, I think if you go week to week, could have gone under there, but there's Van Dyke and there's Jordan Travis. 274.5 for Van Dyke and 164.5 for Jordan Travis, two very different offenses, obviously. I think Tom, you know, when we talk about the prize picks and the numbers that we're going to look at with running backs, wide receivers, quarterbacks, we're talking about two different offenses and two different styles. You got to go probably, unfortunately, over that 274, don't you, with Van Dyke?
Yeah,
they're going to throw the ball.
I think that's in the grand scheme of like 1 to 5 likelihood, it's a 4.5.
Yeah, it's pretty high.
You've got to take that over on Van Dyke. Yeah, because if that kid was timid, you know, if he was a kid who had a cannon for an arm, but he was a timid quarterback who didn't trust what he saw, all right, I could see the argument. But he, again, he's fearless. If he makes a mistake, he does not care. He flushes the last play, if it's a mistake, really well for somebody who is only a freshman in terms of experience. He's a COVID freshman. He was on the roster last year.
Right.
So when you have an attitude like that against a secondary like this, yeah, man, the over is the smarter play there. The Travis number is interesting, though.
Well, because if you get a screen bust or something like that, you get a big chunk play or something, you know, in that realm, you could see that being a 170 day, a 180 day for him, somewhere in that neighborhood. The question is, and we usually like to use this as a way to tell the story of the game, Tom. And you can do that with betting lines, you can do that with totals, and you can do that with the fantasy realm as well, brought to you by Prize Picks. And I think that's true. I think you could do that. And let's look at Jordan Travis's rushing yards. And I think that's the better story of the game if we're trying to tell it and what's possible. Because if he has a big day, then obviously Florida State probably has a chance to win the game. 42.5 is his number of rush yards for the over-under, according to Prize Picks.
Right. Remember sack yardage. That's always the concern in college football.
It really is. And, you know, Florida State will give up a sack yard. But I'm going to take the over there. I really am. Do you pull him aside today? And you know, not that you have to say it, but it's sort of, you know, son, this is a moment.
Oh, no, I think
this is a moment, and you've got to be willing to take off. He was not willing to take off against Clemson.
That's why you need to say it. That's why the answer is, do you have to say
it? You've got to put your arm around him. Yeah,
you do.
You've got to go nuts today, son. This is your day. By the way, this is a seminal moment for Jordan Travis.
Oh, buddy.
That's so well done.
Yep.
Thank you.
And we're done. Goodbye, everybody.
It's professional. But what a day, right? Here's your time, Jordan. If you're right, and I know you weren't last week, didn't play, flew, all that, but if you got your strength back, it's summoned for now. This is it. This is the game. This cements you and your legacy if you go nuts today. I don't care what happens against BC, Florida. This is it. Go nuts today at home. Final home game. They give up explosive plays in the run game. They don't like to tackle. Soft as hell. There you go.
Well, that's the thing, that you go back to the North Carolina performance, and we said, is this just the way he's going to run the read option from here on out? Because if that's the case, you don't just have a one-trick pony. You've got a real offense now. Is it what you want when you're at peak and you've got the athletes? No. But it's something that you have to, have to really sweat over as a defensive coordinator. We tried it at Clemson. It didn't work at all, those things typically don't, given what Clemson is in the front seven.
Their defensive line is an entirely different animal.
And also, these are long-developing runs. These are long-developing plays when you're talking about the run game, because of the decision. He was almost like a Wake Forest quarterback in terms of how long Jordan Travis is waiting to make a choice. Given Miami's linebackers today, he should be put in a position where one run can get him over that total, and it's just a matter of how many sacks are allowed that would detract from that run. But then also, I'm looking at Jayshon Corbin, 67.5. Now, Jayshon gets between 10 and 15 carries a game. That's the MO. So he's going to need to break a big one in that grouping. But he is the style of runner that is the bane of Miami's existence this season, which is somebody who likes to finish runs with a little bit of extra. So I feel like that might be an over. I feel more confident about playing Corbin than I do Travis in that game because, again, of how college stats are compiled.
Yeah, no, you bring up a good point. Where are you at with Jalen Knighton, who's a good football player? Again, everybody should probably wonder why he didn't play early in the year and take a good look at that. But beyond that,
I don't know why they don't have a helmet over him, but yeah.
He's a really good football player, really fast. Where do you stand on 89.5?
I mean, you're basically banking on a home run and then playing average the rest of the way. But the problem is, if we're in the wrong gap,
he's gone.
One time.
He's gone.
I mean,
he's gone.
That is the kind of 0-60. I know it's hubris and you're going to call my Noel card out. He's not the same player as one Dalvin Cook here in Tallahassee. But when you're just talking about acceleration, again, not talking about setting up angles and the vision and all the things that Dalvin had, people bounced off of him in a way that it's not the same with Knighton. You're just talking about straight ahead 0-60. He's a breathtaking player to watch.
By the way, I know that Knighton was suspended, dumbass. That's why I'm bringing it up. Just for those on the chat. Yeah. That's exactly why I brought it up.
The whispers as to why.
Yeah.
That's all right.
I know why.
Comprehension and the orange and green don't really go together all
reading,
that well.
You know, all that stuff, yeah.
It's been 20 years.
Absolutely know why he was suspended and the fact that he was.
Yeah.
Interesting to know why, too. Delve into that one. He is a perfect player for the University of Miami.
Indeed.
Tallahassee Game Day continues in a moment.
Tallahassee Game Day is brought to you by Zaxby's, the official chicken of sports fans. Tallahassee Zaxby's, proudly supporting Florida State University and Seminole Boosters for over 15 years. Now here's WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
Tallahassee Game Day, good to have you on board. Appreciate you tuning in to Tallahassee Game Day. Florida State Miami, always fun and always a little touchy.
A little feisty.
A little feisty.
It's the way it should be.
It is. Today's defensive keys to the game are brought to you by Zaxby's. No matter the result on the field, you're always a winner when you stop at Tallahassee's area Zaxby's for the best chicken fingers, signature salad, or chicken sandwich today. Support those who support local businesses and FSU. That's been Zaxby's way of doing business for over 15 years. Defensive keys to the game. I think this is straightforward. You got to get pressure on Van Dyke. You got to rattle the kid. You got to make him feel the rivalry. You got to make him feel the moment. Jermaine Johnson and the ilk have been really good. That group up front, all of them, have been very, very good for Florida State. There aren't too many elements, if we're being honest about Florida State right now, that have been elite for Florida State or very good, let's just put it that way, for Florida State the last few years. But this group up front today has been very good this year. They are the group that you can depend on day in and day out. It's the one that wins one-on-one matchups. It's the one that gets penetration. It's the one that pressures the quarterback. They've done that this year.
Yeah, to me, it's use the Sam Howell game plan. I talked about that a little bit, where it's okay if Van Dyke picks up 12 or 15 yards. When he breaks the pocket, he's pretty quick. So, and we can live with that versus a shot over the top to Rambo or Restrepo or whoever the hell. You can live with those chunks, force the kid to make the plays systematically. The other thing I'd say is you got to play this honest. You have to play this game honest because his arm is so strong. If you're a safety trying to cheat towards the box when your responsibility is outside for a receiver screen, that one step could cost you a play up the sidelines.
Yeah, yeah.
His arm is too damn strong. There are some quarterbacks that you play where if it's on the right hash, you can cheat if you're on the left side of the field, to the field side. This is not one of those quarterbacks. You have to play it straight up. Same thing for the linebackers. Too much freelancing. I'm expecting freelancing because that's who we are. We rat trap. We get really nervous, and we look for plays where they are not. And Miami's offense, formationally speaking, with all the gun concepts that they run, where they've got two and three people in the backfield at a time.
Gun, yeah.
Well, yeah, given what we were just talking about.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
Armed robbery. Sure.
So you've got to keep your eyes in the right places. The other thing, we haven't talked about this all week, but Miami is good for one flea flicker a week, too. So be alert. If you're playing honest, you're going to be in position to make plays against tricks. But that was a long touchdown play for Miami on the road at Pitt. It was a reverse flea flicker. I've seen the flea flicker used with Tyler Van Dyke in two other games. So just, if you've got an assignment, stick to it. You don't have to do anything more than your job here. Nobody expects you to hold this offense down to 10 or 13 points. That's not the way college football is played, first of all. Secondly, with this offense and how explosive it is, we're trying to score into the 30s to win the football game, hold them into the 20s. But the way you get there is by playing Miami honest and sticking to that Sam Howell game plan.
Yeah, and the Sam Howell game plan actually produced an interception,
right,
several
right.
Plays in which plays were made on the ball. People got their head around.
Yeah, the 50-50 ball for Jerrion Jones in the end zone. That's a big play in that game.
You know, one thing that somebody just noted this, Michael did in the chat, that 11 may get his paycheck for this game. You know, I think that's true. I think this is the game. I mean, that's a kid that has shown up big in big games. He showed up big against Clemson, obviously made the play, right? Strip sack,
right.
Touchdown.
Yes.
I mean, he cares immensely, and he knows the moment is big. He has shown up for his teammates in these moments. He's been really, really good. I think he has a good day today.
Oh, I think it's fair to expect that. It's fair at this point. And I remember when we were doing this show, well, it was a different chat, but it was a pregame element for War Chant TV, which, remember, like and subscribe to this channel if you have not done so already. I was saying, all right, you had 5.5 of your sacks in, or 4.5 in the first five games of the season.
And he showed up big. He told you, Tom Lang.
Well, we knew it was in him, but we needed him to do that. And if the offense could have gotten a couple first downs with 5 minutes to go, it would have been the signature play of that game. He and Toa Fili. That would have been the memories that would have been lasting about that road trip to Clemson and win over the Tigers. Not to be, of course. Then last week against NC State and a left tackle that gets a first-round grade, he pulls a couple of moves on that kid that, again, got him paid. I think his paycheck is assured at this point.
Yeah.
What he's done the last two weeks.
But go ahead and cement it today.
And give us a signature moment again. He's put us in position. You want to win for that kid. That's a player on this roster.
It's a weird thing to say about a transfer, but it's so true. And that's where they've really hit, is a kid like that. That group up front in general is filled with transfers. And they've done a really good job. They're going to have to do it again, by the way, because if all those guys jettison the program, some of them by choice, some of them because it's time, you're going to have to hit big again. There is some development happening, though, with that group as well. Some kids that you recruited that are actually playing well. Ray's played well. I mean, they've got some kids that are starting to emerge there. But, yeah, today's a big day for that group. It's really the only way you win the game, because getting Miami behind the chains is going to be vital here. Because they play tempo, Tom. So let's get to the nuts and bolts of the game here. We're talking about defensive keys. Miami plays tempo. And you went back and watched that film. I watched that film. They play fast if you let them, and the only way you let them is if they win first down. That's true of all tempo offenses. If they win first down, they are going to get to the line of scrimmage and go now. And that is tough on any defense. Wears you down, it leads to huge mistakes, and basically it's designed so that guys can't get set and read their keys. It's designed to create combustible plays, big moments. And that's exactly what happens with tempo offenses. That's what happens with this offense unless they lose first down. You've got to win that down today. Both offensively and defensively, first down's the most important down of the day. Everybody talks about money down, third down, all that nonsense. Listen, first down is the biggest key to today's game for both Florida State's offense and defense.
Yeah, so defensively, this is where, again, a couple of freshmen who are getting better. I mean, Van Dyke is getting more composed as the weeks go on, but he'll still run himself into trouble. He'll break the pocket when there is no pressure and feed into a twist game. That is one nut and bolt, as you're talking about, that you can look at. A couple of times the last 2 weeks, we've seen Keir Thomas, number 4, and Jermaine Johnson, number 11, line up together next to each other on the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
That alerts you that something weird is coming. And Van Dyke has, one of the few things he hasn't handled all that well is the twists. We've gotten a lot better at that. We've coached that better. We've developed there. That's good work.
It was awful earlier in the year.
Oh, it took forever.
Real sign of coaching, though. They've gotten better there.
Yeah, somebody was saying that I hated seeing, I think it was Dante Lucas, trying to pull. You know, it's like it took forever to get. That's what it was like on our defensive line when we were trying to run the NT, the ET twist, whatever you want to call it.
Games.
Well, you run those games. Van Dyke will put himself in a position where he runs into a sack where there didn't need to be one. Same thing with Jalen Knighton. Jalen Knighton doesn't wait for runs, typically. It's happened like once or twice this season, but he loves to get to full speed as quickly as he can. So if you stay where you're supposed to stay, you can run that. They can run themselves into second and nine because you are where you're supposed to be. The other thing I'd say defensively as well, if you're watching Miami, and they will make mistakes out of nowhere, whether it's putting the football on the ground or Van Dyke predetermining where he's going to go with the football and throwing a 102-mile-an-hour fastball right into the chest of a defender. You've got to be alert for the ball on the ground or the ball coming right at you. You're going to get some opportunities there. But if it's a drop and it hits the turf and it's third and six instead of first down, Florida State going the other way, these are the little things that add up and put you in the L column instead of the W column.
You know, it's interesting, the idea we talk about our defense against – what's the number that would, I guess, signal that Florida State's having a good day? You know, offensively, somebody posted that if we throw more than 20 times, we lose. Simple. I don't think it's that simple. I understand what you're saying, and I agree with the sentiment, Glenn, but you could have 7 or 8 screen passes in there and just to slow Miami down.
Right.
Or extensions of the run, if you will.
Yeah, we had a game plan earlier this year where it was similar to Miami's against
Pitts.
Threw
a ton, but it really didn't throw.
Was that Syracuse, I think?
Yeah, just out to the edges. Yeah, over and over again. So I don't know if that's necessarily true. But, I again, the sentiment is correct.
Yeah, if it's 20 downfield passes, then
that's correct. You got problems. Second-level passes, more than 20, you got real problems. Because you got to run the ball here, and you got to run it on first down. The world knows it. It's not ideal. Modern offenses want to throw on first down. It's the best down to throw on. It's the only neutral down. You've got to make a team defend the whole field. Well, we don't do that. That's just not who we are. And we've had to lean into who we are. What's the number, though, the other way for Miami that signals they're in trouble? Is it Van Dyke has to throw 50 times? Is it Van Dyke throws 20 times? Where would you say that the game plan is going well for Florida State? What's that number since we're doing defensive keys to the game?
I think if he's under a buck 80 at halftime, I think we're doing some things.
Yeah.
I know that's a huge number, but I think that's where, I mean, the game plan demands that you throw the football on this team. And I think Rhett Lashley's smart enough. I mean, look at what they did to us last year. They wanted to air it out as much as they possibly could.
Yeah. And I get it. I would, too. I would challenge our corners. I would challenge our safeties. I would challenge us in the pass game as often as I could.
Yeah.
I would isolate linebackers and make them cover. Yes, I would throw the ball 40-plus times today if I'm Miami. I think NC State did us a favor by dialing back the passing game.
Correct.
When they did that, I thought, oh, well, thank you. You're trying to lose the game, dumbass Dave Doran. That's who you are. But listen, I don't think Miami will dial that back because Lashley is an infinitely superior offensive play caller to Doran and his staff. Yes.
Yeah. That, and to me, that's the thing, though. It's hard for me to say that that's the number that I'm looking for because that number will be lower if we can't run the football. You know what I mean? Because then Miami, they'll just have the ball the whole half, and it doesn't really matter. So you know what I'll look at instead? Here's what I'll look at. Third down conversions. I mean, with us, we're so situational, and we're so limited in what we do. If our third down percentage is high, because last week we were 2 of 16. Third down.
Again, remember, we did not have a starting quarterback in the game.
Agreed.
Flu-ridden, had to play McKenzie Milton. He's terrible. So
we didn't have our best guards.
Yeah.
But that tells you that on third down, we're one-dimensional. If our third down percentage is up, that means that we're in third and we can run, which is what we live and die on. So I'm actually looking to the offense, because what that does is that tells me that we've had the ball, we've possessed
correct,
the football,
correct, yeah.
Which is critical for this offense. I mean, they'll go through spells where, sure, like the defense will be on the field for maybe 12 of the first 18 minutes of the football game, and then we hit an explosive for 80 yards. Like, that's great. I'm glad
except
we're on the board.
But
these guys got
to
roll right back. Yeah. That happened against Wake Forest. It was the shot play from Jordan.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, good. Here's the problem. The defense has been on the field this whole time. So that's where it gets dicey to predict those numbers. Because, again, to me, it wouldn't be shocking if Miami won by 14, 17 points. It wouldn't be shocking if we did.
Yeah.
This game is volatile.
So to answer a question on the chat, why they had to throw the ball 40 times last week, you can't run the ball when McKenzie Milton's the quarterback. The defense doesn't have to respect the quarterback's legs. You can't win the match.
Yeah, we still called read options, and it's like, why?
Yeah. So, you know, you have to throw the ball when he's in the game because you can't run it. So it really is manifest. You're in a terrible situation when you start him. So that's how that works. It's football. Come on, brother. Let's go. Knowles writes, Marcus, Wu-Tang, have a great day, fellas, and thanks for all the wonderful content.
Woo!
Appreciate you, Marcus. Appreciate you big time. Oh, David, thank you very much as well. Just donating to the cause. People are rolling in. Keep it coming, baby. I'll dance on the pole as we go to break. Tallahassee Game Day continues in a moment.
Tallahassee Game Day is brought to you by Zaxby's, the official chicken of sports fans. Tallahassee Zaxby's, proudly supporting Florida State University and Seminole Boosters for over 15 years. Now here's WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
Who's hot? Who's cold? Brought to you by Barano Heating and Air Conditioning, a longtime friend and partner of the Jeff Cameron Show. Turn to the experts at Barano Heating and Air Conditioning for all your heating and cooling needs. No matter what time of year it is, Barano will always be there for you. Head to BaranoAC.com or call 580-4029.
Yeah, it's been a confusing time for the old air conditioning machine outside the last couple of weeks.
You're like, man, it's a little chilly out. Oh, now it's hot. What are we doing? Yeah.
Yeah, yesterday was actually
operating at peak efficiency, buddy, thanks to Barano.
Or it was Thursday. Thursday was muggy. I was like, what is this?
Yeah. Yeah. Bryce has gotten to, my son has gotten to a place where he's like, it's supposed to be cold from here on out, Dad. Let's what is this? I'm like, I agree, son.
Oh yeah.
I agree. Well, I want to walk out and feel that. But what a perfect day for football today.
This is it, man.
Huh?
You don't
man.
Even need to listen, you're gonna have your carrier unit all set from Barano Heating and Air Conditioning, but you don't need that sucker today. You can turn it off. Save yourself a couple of dollars on the bill.
Yeah, that's true. Keir Thomas is hot. Agreed, Ryan, and that was the name I was going to point to before we started the segment. So that is correct. He's been a great player for Florida State. Who's cold?
Oh, man. See, you always put me in the position
of
trying
to
dog somebody.
That's who you are, buddy. Go ahead and be so negative all the time,
yeah,
Tom.
Yeah, that's me. McKenzie Milton. here's one I'll put out there.
Milton's 40 time.
I'll put out there with
cold.
A caveat. Yes. Oh, my God. We'd still be waiting. Big Bobby Scott. Robert Scott with the injury, man. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's, you know, he was slated to return to left tackle. It doesn't really work out. He's just somebody who can get beaten on the edge by a speed rush right now because he's not at 100%. So that's something I'm looking for today with Miami's defensive front. We really don't talk about Miami's defensive front at all.
It's not terrible. Their defensive front's pretty good, actually.
Yes.
It's their linebackers that suck. So and their defensive front's pretty good.
I'm sure the film says it, but you know, at some point, if you're a rush end and it's third and obvious, just try a speed rush and see if it works, because it might very well on 52. And that's where this group and the offensive line, they just have not been healthy all season long. The flu bug was, you know, the final straw. But all year, since camp, they've been chasing, trying to get all five on the field at the same time at 100% or something close to it in November of a college football season. They haven't gotten there.
Yeah.
When they are close to healthy, they can actually move you off the ball every once in a while, which is a foreign thing for Florida State fans.
Atkins does such a good job. Yeah, he really does. I can't say it enough. People have wondered why this group is not better if he's such a good coach. Like, I see sentiments like that. No, man, you're not looking at this properly. That group's not that talented, and they're able to run the ball six separate times this year so far through eight games to the tune of over 200 yards
right.
with no threat of a vertical passing game.
Yeah.
That is genius coaching. That's high-level stuff, my friend. They do scheme it up. They create the extra gap. They are really good at doing that. If they do that today, Florida State can win.
Well, and that's the stuff with the eye discipline. We talked about it from Miami's offensive perspective and what they do with the gun. But, and again, I use that pun. It's Cam McDonald in the backfield. If he's healthy, he's a really big player in this game because...
You and Jalen Knighton.
Well, yeah. Jalen Knighton, that's right.
Yeah.
It's because of the backside looks on certain plays. So we set things up, and we've got RPO elements. You got the bubbles to the flat, but the receivers, I saw somebody comment that the whole receiver core is cold. Yes, yes, for years and years here in Tallahassee.
They're not cold. They're just not any good.
But if you're looking to isolate and win a matchup, and you've got linebackers who are freelancing, like I feel like our offense should be very prepared for this game, given when they go good on good against our defense, they see what our linebackers do, Miami's linebackers
but they don't,
do.
But they don't see, well, okay.
Yeah, but the point is that Cam McDonald, Will Mallory, the guys in the backfield can make plays because the linebackers are going to lose them. So if you set up things, create the extra gaps with the runs, you show that we can hit those power and counter plays, whatever they call them, then you're also setting up wide open shots to receivers and players underneath too for Jordan Travis. And at times, Jordan Travis and Cam McDonald have had a nice little bit of chemistry this season.
Isolating their linebackers, the game plan is the same, oddly, for two different reasons and two different skill sets for both offenses. Isolating linebackers is the key to the game today for Florida State, and it's also a key for Florida State's defense today to be better in that area. Now, I don't know that you have the requisite skill to be better in that area.
It's got to be out of the backfield, which is what I'm, you know, I don't know that it's a seam pass, but... They have schemed those things open. The other thing is, if you do that, and it is Jordan Wilson releasing into a route, who's staying in to block? And if nobody's staying in to block, how long can you block it up?
Not long.
There was a play against North Carolina in the red zone where Travis had enough time, but barely enough time, and he missed Wilson. He ended up hitting Cam McDonald on a throw in the red zone, gets us to a first and goal. But those kinds of things are going to be open if you can hold for long enough. And the good thing that's happened, here's another player who's hot today. Darius Washington has turned into a legitimate tackle.
It's pretty funny.
We have a legitimate tackle here for the first time since who? Big Rod Johnson?
Big Rod Johnson. Yeah.
Isn't that something?
It's a miracle. It makes me want to weep. I haven't seen tackle play at Florida State on the offensive side in years. And now that you see it pretty consistently, he is. He's a nice player. He's your best offensive lineman.
Currently, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's better than Smith. He's better than...
And Tim and Gibbons on that left side.
Well, Gibbons is good. Yeah. Gibbons is key to today, as we said in the first hour. If he doesn't play, we don't win. Period. I mean, I hate to say that. It's just true. For all the angles we create, it involves pulling.
Well, and that's another thing to look at, too. When he does pull, how healthy is he? Because the injury from a couple of weeks ago was he got rolled up on, right? So, you know, that can affect your agility and your first, second step as you're trying to get to a spot. So when he does pull... Is he catching a block or is he delivering a blow? Because we're catching blocks when he's not in the game.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. It's critical today that you look out there, you gaze upon that glorious field, Bobby Bowden Field, Doak Campbell Stadium, when you watch warm-ups. How are we looking up front? We got the five. We got the five. We got the five that can win. Got those five. Let's play ball.
Cannot stress it enough.
Don't have those five? Watch a movie? I mean, I'm just saying, I think it's that simple. I mean, got those five. Let's roll, baby. Let's go.
Pissed off one of the chickens.
Don't
he's mad at you.
Don't have those five? What haven't you seen that you've been wanting to see?
What haven't I?
No, in general? It's not a question. It's rhetorical. Oh, okay. That's where we're at.
I was going to say.
What do you want to see?
A punt return for over 10 yards. That's what I want to see.
Have you seen Dune yet? Have you seen Dune?
I saw Dune.
Did you?
Yeah.
Was it good?
It was a lot.
Oh, you didn't like it?
I don't know.
Here's the thing, though. It's because it's the first of, like, the next five. Like, there's a bunch they're setting up for.
Yeah, so the
in
problem...
In that sense, you like it.
I love that we pivoted to this. All right. I'll get into it.
This is what you do, everybody. If you gaze upon that field
you don't see the
and
five.
The starting five isn't there, you contemplate watching Dune. It's a long movie. Hopefully, you got a great TV.
Yeah.
Let's go, baby.
You need a great TV. It's strikingly beautiful. It's a gorgeous-looking movie. The thing is, when some of the key people, and this happens in every movie, so it's not a spoiler, when some of the key people died, I didn't feel anything. You know, you're supposed to feel something when somebody goes, even if it's the first time you meet them in a movie.
You didn't care about them.
Man, when Obi-Wan gets a little, Gankity Gank from Vader and the first Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you feel bad because he's trying to take this kid under his wing.
No, you're
his
like,
aunt and uncle just got burned alive, you know, and it's like, who's left? But then you're like, wait, there's no body there, so there's some hope. I don't know what the hell's going on, but you still feel very sad, you know?
I love
it. I didn't feel sad in Dune.
You took it. You took it. That's good. All right, I get it.
That's what I do.
Character development was terrible. Got it. All right, that's all right. But visually, it's beautiful.
And it was a fun movie,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and if, you know, you don't feel like watching today because the starting five aren't out there on the offensive line, we just set it up for you, buddy. Watch you some Dune. I would actually tell you if you want to go that genre, a more important and better film and a better written and well-acted film would be Gattaca. Tallahassee Game Day continues in a moment.
You work hard, so you deserve the good things in life, like getting an amazing deal on awesome internet. That's why there's never been a better time to switch to Xfinity. Get the fast and reliable internet you deserve for $20 a month for 12 months with a one-year contract. And for the first time ever, ask how to get 12 times the speed for the same internet price when you add Xfinity Mobile. Just imagine, faster downloads, more streaming, the possibilities are endless. That's more speed and you'll save hundreds over AT&T. Plus, ask how to get an eligible 5G phone on us for a limited time, $300 back. So what are you waiting for? Sign up now because you deserve awesome internet. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and auto pay, ends 11-21-21. Restrictions apply. New performance starter internet, 50 megabits per second customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply. Compares monthly service charge for Xfinity 600 megabits per second and AT&T 500 megabits per second each with one unlimited mobile line for a year as of 10-6-21. Reduce speeds after 20 gigabytes of mobile usage.
Tallahassee Game Day is brought to you by Zaxby's, the official chicken of sports fans. Tallahassee Zaxby's, proudly supporting Florida State University and Seminole Boosters for over 15 years. Now here's WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
Hey, Zaxby's. We just got done eating some here in these parts. That's what we did. I'm getting confirmation. Yeah, it's a possibility. I'm hearing that Emmett Rice plays today, everybody. Maybe back on the field today. Hey, listen, you can't overstate that, but I mean, in the sense that how much can he really do since it's been a long time since he stepped on the field, but he's infinitely superior in diagnoses than what we currently have.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what he'll do.
He'll put you in the right position.
Exactly. The defensive line in front of him, the linebacker next to him, he'll get your ass in the right spot.
That's correct.
And so you don't have to think about that anymore. That has been, you know, it's funny. Sometimes you see things in camp practices that don't, you know, present themselves during the season at all. For example, Stanford Samuels III being a lockdown corner. Didn't see that in the regular season. Saw it a bunch in camp.
Yeah.
One thing I did see in fall camp that has just been a problem this whole season, the communication pre-snap from linebacker to linebacker. We've got guys who are specialists in what they do. Lundy's got some get up to him, and he's mostly in front of him kind of a player.
Oh, yeah, he's downhill run stopper, yes.
And he's got the body type for it. Yeah. Deloach is a little bit better in coverage. But
much better.
When they're lining up pre-snap, I remember seeing it multiple days in camp where they were either late getting into where they needed to be and Fuller would chew them out, or they were just freelancing because they didn't know what they were doing. And it's clear that they were coached up to do everything right. It's just something doesn't click when the ball is snapped. And that's been the case every week. Now, Emmett Rice on the field, even if it's for 15 snaps, you're going to be where you're supposed to be for those 15 snaps. That's great.
Emmett
so hopefully
Rice,
he plays.
Emmett Rice is a good football player. That's the best way to describe him. Is he an elite athlete? No. Is he a difference maker?
He can't get to the point where he needs to get sometimes.
Right,
it's just,
right.
But he's everything that this culture wants to be.
And he's a good football player.
And he was last year.
Yes, he was. Listen, this is a big deal to get him back. Now that, I'm not told, excuse me, voice is leaving me here.
Well, Emmett Rice makes me emotional too.
I'm just pumped about the game. I don't know how many snaps he'll play today, but I am hearing that he is available today. So, yeah.
Okay.
That's he'll be in pads.
That's
today.
A little bit of a nugget for you on a Zaxby's Tallahassee game day.
Yeah,
right?
Man, yeah. I'm pumped up. Yeah. Hearing he's available today, so let's knock on wood that he goes out and plays well.
And I'll give you a chance to catch your breath a little bit there, because when you get a frog in your throat in this business, there is nothing worse. But our sincere thanks to our sponsors, Danny and the folks at Zaxby's, for bringing this program to you all season long. Without sponsors like Zaxby's, we wouldn't be able to do these types of things. Our thanks also to our friends John and the folks here at Real Talk 93.3. This is our first year doing Tallahassee Game Day at this frequency on this home radio station. So we're thankful to both of those people who are monumentally important in making this happen all season long. But once again, to Danny, appreciate you, man, because those platters, did they bring a second one today? Did I hear that right?
Yeah, we got a second one, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm ready to get after it, actually, as soon as we get done with the show. Yeah.
My wife's out for a wedding this week. When she comes back, she's going to be just floored.
Zaxby's.
She loves her some Zaxby's chicken fingers. She will violate her principles for Zaxby's chicken fingers.
today's game day predictions are brought to you by Lane's Medical Shop, with locations in Colquitt and Donaldsonville. Lane's Medical Shop offers all your medical supply needs. They even have delivery and emergency services available. Lane's Medical Shop, 229-758-9111. Tell them I sent you, as well as warchant.com, and you'll get half off. Hey, now, doing some things at Lane's.
Shop that thing in half for you.
Woo!
Put that price right in half.
All right, so we segue to that element of the show, game predictions.
Pain.
Okay, Mr. T. I'm going to go high scoring, volatile, real high highs, real low lows. I feel like that's what today is.
Oh, this
today's like, are you effing kidding me? Followed by, you beautiful SOB. That's today's game.
And that's it? You're not making a pick?
Oh, I'll make a pick, but we got like 9 minutes left in the show. So,
all right. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's you watch this Miami offense, and we talked about the two principal figures. We haven't talked a lot about Rambo, but to me, Knighton stands out on film more than Rambo does.
Well, but Van Dyke opened up what Rambo is.
Correct.
He didn't have that with King. And it's funny, we go, and I'll let you make your point. I apologize for interrupting, but at the beginning of the year, we were talking about the college football season. And we were talking about what was possible for, obviously, Florida State. But we looked around the ACC and we looked around the country. And, of course, Miami had that game against Alabama. And we knew that Alabama would just brutalize Miami because the two programs were in worlds apart. And one of the things that I said was, well, I don't care about the result because I already know what it is. Alabama wins and wins big. What I care to see is De'Aaron King any good, because they love that guy. And I always thought he kind of sucked as a player in general. And so I thought, well, let's see if he's any good and or is he healthy at all to start the year. My hope was that he would be, because I wanted them to have to start him all year long. Now, I didn't know what they had at backup. I'm not going to lie. I didn't know that there was somebody waiting in the wings that would be infinitely superior to King. Turns out, unfortunately, there is. But I wanted him to play because he's not good. And we go back and we think about those early season games. They did not click in the passing game. It was so frustrating if you're a Miami fan to watch, and that's because King's terrible. And what you have instead now is a legitimate passer, a legitimate quarterback, and it's opened up these receivers, and it's especially opened up Rambo.
Well, I'm sure it's taken the pressure and the awkwardness in that locker room completely out of the equation. I mean, you could see the belief building in both phases of the game, because a quarterback can do that for a program. But obviously, Rambo is going to make plays today because our secondary is suspect. I don't know that it's anything to do with him being potentially special.
No, but I think he's
a good player. But I think he's talked about like he's, you know, a burgeoning first round pick and going to be a week in, week out NFL performer at 100 yards a clip or something like that. I don't know.
I don't think he's that, but I think he's a good receiver.
He's a good player. Restrepo is the guy they go to in key situations. That guy makes a lot of tough catches. And then Knighton is the one that, man, if you make a mistake, he changes the score.
Luckily, he puts the ball on the ground, too.
But the overriding point here, when you're talking about predictions, that offense throws haymakers. That's all it does. Haymakers left and right. He throws for the downs every play. Jalen Knighton tries to score every play. They're going to do so. It's just a matter of how much. If you can hold them to a couple of explosives where they actually score a touchdown on the play, and you play good red zone defense, this is a classic case today for both defenses of 3-0-7. When you get into the red zone, can you shut it down and force a 37-yard field goal, a 24-yard field goal, whatever it is, can you shut the opposing offense down in situations? Because I think 20-20, both offenses can move the ball. I feel better about Miami moving the ball than Florida State, but we'll see how healthy we are and who's out there on the pregame
warm-ups. I feel good about us moving the ball if we're able to run. I mean, if you run the ball, you'll hold the possession of the football for longer and keep him off the field, control time of possession, and if you amass 200 yards rushing, Florida State has a really good chance of winning. If they don't, they lose, period. I mean, it's a pretty simple, straightforward assessment of a game. That's true of Florida State every week, by the way. It's not unique to Miami. We know this. Bottom line is, whether you're facing an explosive offense or not, if Florida State can't run the football, they're going to lose the game because they sure as hell aren't going to throw it. So that's where we're at.
So let me ask you this. I made the point a couple of times today where I wouldn't be shocked if either team wins by multiple scores. Do you feel that way, or do you think that Florida State can only win if it's a close game? Is it that type of thing where they've got to do everything right in order to eke out a close victory?
No, it's a weird game. Okay, so we had a couple of games this year where any result wouldn't surprise you.
So right.
That's very rare. Normally we say things like, well, Florida State can win a close game or they'll get blown out. That too often is the way we describe these games. We never say Florida State's going to blow somebody out unless it's UMass. I mean, like, we don't ever think Florida State's capable of blowing anybody out.
Right.
So, because they're just not skilled enough. So, one thing I would say about this game is I would actually not be surprised by any result. Florida State loses 48-17. Wouldn't shock me. It'd be terrible. I'd hate it. It'd make me upset. Wouldn't be shocked, though. I wouldn't be like, oh, my God, I didn't see that coming. Florida State wins 34-10. Wouldn't be shocked.
Well, that would be three picks from Van Dyke.
A couple of picks, and you run the ball. And so you shorten the game. That's what that would be. You shorten the game.
Right,
and he throws a couple of turnover interceptions.
Of six-minute drives or something like that.
Yeah, shorten the game.
Where it's clear the defense doesn't want to be there after a certain point.
Right, right. Call it a day. Yeah. Wouldn't shock me is my point while we're going through the scenarios. Wouldn't shock me. Now, would I be pleasantly surprised if Florida State dominated this game? Yeah, sure, I'd be pleasantly surprised. Florida State's an underdog for a reason. Miami's a better football team. I've mentioned that before. I think they're actually significantly better than Florida State. I actually believe that. I think that's player for player, primarily because they have a passing quarterback, we don't. They have real receivers, we don't. That is a very big difference in the two teams.
They've got balance on offense, we don't. But their biggest weakness on defense is our biggest strength on offense. So that's where the matchup makes it interesting.
They give up explosive plays, too. It's weird. It's kind of funny. You never get mad about a long touchdown run. But if your defense is not getting stops, you kind of go, well,
right.
I would have liked that to have been a 10-play drive.
What's interesting is, so I look at the Pitt game for Miami. I've talked about that a bunch where it's an outlier, but it's enough for me to go, if they choose to, it is in them to stop the run. They can. They can tackle better. They can play better than they have the rest of the season. That is in them. The 35-7 run against North Carolina is in us as well. So if I'm a Miami fan looking at, what could Florida State bring to the table? I know what they are, what their season resume says when Jordan Travis plays, but that would at least concern me that after 10-0 in the first quarter, Florida State just put it on North Carolina in
the
building.
It's the only game this year we did that, though.
But it is, if you're looking for health and trends, right, the health got in the way of the trend against North Carolina. We weren't 100% against Clemson. The more you hear about that game, the more you hear that some key position players were not 100%
correct
playing on the road.
And they had a chance to win.
So the last time that you've played against a Power 5 opponent where you've been at full strength was the North Carolina game, and a lot of these similar elements are here for this one. Miami's got better receivers than North Carolina does, more of them. Josh Downs is a great player, but Miami's got more weapons, and they've got a quarterback with a better arm. But defensively and offensively, if you look at North Carolina, Miami, this is a similar type game against a similarly talented opponent, and we put it on North Carolina and their building. So that's in us. It's possible.
Yeah, against a defense that doesn't like to tackle and it at times is optional, sure, it's in us.
Yeah,
I won't disagree with that. I don't think it's likely, though, as far as scenarios go. But at the end of the day, have you come around? Have you come around, buddy? I know you had Miami relatively big earlier in the week. You think it's a close game now?
Well, it was based on health. Jordan missed Sunday and Monday, and then he came back. So somebody's asking earlier, is Jordan Travis healthy? Yeah, they put him before the media on Wednesday. They feel good about him.
Yeah. If Florida State's healthy, that's a big if. If the offensive line, the five that we need, and you know the five, if they're healthy and Jordan Travis feels good, he's full strength, Florida State has a chance to win today. you hope the home field, you hope the emotion of the day, something big happens that carries us over. I took Florida State earlier in the week. Maybe I'm hoping against hope. I took us 31-30. Your prediction, sir?
I'll stick with the prediction because it's a coin flip. And I said earlier in the week, 31-20 Miami. Hope I'm dead wrong. And if I am, I will eat that crow on the postgame show,
which you can tune into on War Chant TV later today. That sounds good. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Be well. Go Noles. And we'll talk to you later.